Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo. The 4 o'clock reset.
Friday, 4 o'clock. Let's get you caught up in everything going on in sports as we take you into the weekend here on the Burns and Gambo Show. And for that, we turn it over to Mitch Fereldis. Mitch, take it away.
Busy.
Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor?
Okay, there's true reasoning as to why I hit the reset button with that. Because Kevin Harlan was on the call for last night's Kings-Pelicans game. Pelicans got the win. They're now a game ahead of the Suns in the standings. Now, tonight, the Suns have the Kings in a game, Gambo. If they want any shot at that sixth seed, they absolutely have to win
tonight. I think they're going to have to win both of these games and hope the Pelicans lose one, end up in a tie, and have the tiebreaker. Pelicans have Golden State and the Lakers. Golden State is on the road. And then the Lakers are at home. The Suns, obviously, this one at Sacramento. Then at Minnesota, end the season. They don't want to play Tuesday. They don't want to play Tuesday at all. So they'd love to get this done and get some rest before the playoffs start.
Yeah, it's hardly a consolation prize. In fact, it's not at all, because we're all hyper-focused on six and getting out of the play-in tournament. If they win one of their final two games, talking about the Suns, they can't fall any further than seven. Now, that's not the news I'm looking for, and it's not the outcome I want, but at least there's some solace in knowing if they just win one of these two games,
you're home.
You will be home on Tuesday for the 7-8 matchup, and you would be home, presumably. Yeah, you would be home if you had to play the winner of the 9-10 matchup on Friday. So at least you'd be home for those two games. But that doesn't make me feel better. I want the Pelicans to lose one of these games and the Suns to win both, and the Suns can get the week off that they need and we need so they can go into this postseason.
We need it too.
We need a break.
We need the break too.
That's exactly where I was going.
I need a 5-day break.
I need a little bit of a break
now. It's just a separation. It's not a divorce.
No.
It's not a divorce.
It's just complicated.
Just a Ross Rachel, we were on a break kind of break right now.
I need some alone time.
Yep, just give me a little
break. It's not you. It's just I need some alone time.
It's not you. It's me. Did you just use it?
I need some alone time.
It's not you, it's me.
All right, I dropped references to 290 sitcoms in that rank. Okay, go ahead, Mitch.
As the injury report is concerned, nothing too surprising. Names that we expect to be on there. I want to pivot really quickly because Dwayne Rankin got a chance to speak with Damian Lee, who's essentially been out for the entire year, and was asked about what happened? Why is this recovery taking as long as it is? I don't have time to play the sound, so I'll say this. Quote, it was deemed a meniscus surgery. Long story short, it was a root repair. Essentially, my meniscus tore off the bone. Quote, it's not the standard everyone thinks 3 months, 6 months. Close quote.
Wow. Well, that explains it. Why he hasn't played all year.
Chicken wings and meniscus is off the bones.
Careful. Don't want you saying anything you're going to regret, Gambo. Tip off at 7:30. Pre-game coverage will start at 6:30 with our guy, Tim Ring, right here.
That's our guy.
Let's pivot to the Diamondbacks, because an hour before Suns and the Kings tip off, it'll be Diamondbacks against the St. Louis Cardinals. Welcome back, Goldie. It's always nice to see him back in town. Hopefully you'll hit better when you leave. We hope you don't hit as well while you're here. Got to start with these injury updates, though. Eduardo Rodriguez, he felt some tightness in his last bullpen on Tuesday, and as a result, they are pulling back on his throwing program, per Torrey Lovello.
That is not good news.
No.
That is not good news.
I've got some feelers out to see if I can find out anything more. No, nothing yet, but this is bad news. Hopefully it doesn't get worse, but it's bad news.
Now, Jordan Montgomery is set to make his Diamondback debut, we believe, about a week from now, given the timeline we were given when he signed. And as Gambo kind of pointed out, now we're kind of back to square one, at least when it comes to, you know who your 1, 2, and 3 is. You know who your 4 is in Brandon Pfaadt. Now it's either going to be Tommy Henry or Ryan Nelson as your 5. That was the scenario before you got Jordan Montgomery, and now it's the scenario after you got Jordan Montgomery. It's just a question of how long Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be out, because if he's not going to throw a baseball for 14 days, as it was suggested, now you're talking about Memorial Day before you see Eduardo Rodriguez.
Right.
And that's not what anybody signed up for. So problematic, and yet more injuries for the Diamondbacks.
The other update comes from Alec Thomas. He had a scheduled scrum as a result of they're giving away the awesome T-shirt this weekend to commemorate his famous home run against the Phillies in the playoffs. He said he's starting to face live pitching and run, but he's not at the point of fielding yet, and he expects to start base running sometime next week.
Okay, that's taking longer than we thought.
Yeah.
That's taking longer than we thought.
He's base running next week?
Yeah. Base running next week. Not even fielding right now either.
These injuries, man.
They're
paying the price for last year. They really are. With the injuries they had done last year, they're paying the price for it right
baseball
now.
Baseball gods are like, we'll get you.
They're like, you owe us. You know what? You got red on your ledger.
We actually forgot about you guys last year. We forgot to give you four injuries last year. We're going to make it up right now in the month of April.
You owe us. Pay the
they
piper.
Look back in the almanac and wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a second. We forgot to give the Diamondbacks some injuries.
Yeah, we're going
to
send you a bill right now. It's due.
How did we forget that?
That, again, first pitch will be at 6:40. That'll be over on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. in the Arizona Sports app. Brandon Pfaadt against Steven Matz in that one.
Okay.
Let's switch from the diamond to the ice. Relocation rumors continue to grow louder around the Arizona Coyotes, but the players are staying zeroed in. Lawson Crouse after morning skate.
I mean, yeah, like, we saw it everywhere, just like everyone, but, you know, we don't know anything more than what everyone else is seeing. So, you know, we're just worried about tonight, controlling what we can control, and that's all we can think about.
And what Lawson said there is a recurring theme. We don't know. We're just controlling what we can control.
Yeah.
From the top all the way to the bottom of this roster.
I mean, the players deserve to know right now, since it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's out there and they've had to go four or five nights now, a week from when we first mentioned what was going to happen, a week of like not hearing from anybody about what is really going on here. Now, I understand they may have wanted to keep this secret until after the season ended, but now the cat's out of the bag. Okay, it'd be nice for these players to be informed of what the future is going to be.
I will pass this along to our colleague Todd Walsh, who's part of the TV broadcast for the Coyotes. He tweeted out earlier that GM Bill Armstrong is expected to address the team ahead of tonight. Their puck drop is at 6, so I would imagine that meeting is taking place relatively soon. There's not a lot of time left for them to warm up and
I would think so.
Talk about this. Tom Brady on the Deep Cut podcast.
Oh, God.
Look, I'm just going to play this, and we'll sit back, and we'll talk about it after.
Somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
He's been gone for one full season, and he's already putting inklings out there about returning MJ style.
Like, aren't there other things out there that interest you? Like, what about your friendship with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck? Like, is there a Dunkin' Donuts commercial to make? Any more, like, a different supermodel to date?
Seriously, don't you have a donut to eat? Don't you like, have something, a cup of coffee to drink?
A new wrap to write or something.
I'll always be in good shape. Funny. You don't have to be, dude. You're good now.
Let it go. You're okay.
Have some real pistachio ice cream put
the avocado ice cream. Put down the avocado ice cream. It's okay. You can have dairy now. Live a little.
Go to
dairy.
Dunkin' Donuts and be like, just give me a box of the munchkins. I'm going to eat them all right here.
It makes for interesting talk radio fodder. I really don't think Tom Brady's going to make a comeback in the NFL, but stranger things have happened, I suppose.
Will he play before Aaron Rodgers plays?
No, oh boy. He won't. No, he won't.
All right, and then we'll close with this. We have a new head coach for the Kentucky Wildcats taking over for John Calipari. It's a former Kentucky Wildcat and a former national champion of theirs, Mark Pope, who was last with BYU, officially the new head man for the Wildcats.
Yeah, after a whole bunch of people said they weren't interested in the job.
Right.
After a whole bunch of people came out. Jay Wright. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm fine right here. Right?
Yeah, this guy played at Kentucky, part of that national title team in 1996. He's been rising up the ranks. He had a good year at BYU this season when he joined the Big 12. They 23-11, reached the NCAA tournament. So, you know, the ties to Kentucky as a player, bringing him back. I mean, it does make some sense.
And then we'll close our reset with this.
Cold Wong.
That's it.
Tori Lavello from earlier.
So funny.
When Gambo asked him about Colton Wong, he's like, Colton Wong? What are we talking about here?
It's almost like he didn't even know that they got him.
It was almost like he didn't get the email that they signed Colton Wong deal. Yeah, a couple days ago.
Was it a bad question? I was kind of asked, like, what's the plan? Like, he's an infielder. they're kind of short infielders right now. Like, you know, could he be called up and used inside? I mean, I just
think it's long.
It's so funny. It's so funny. It does echo back to James Jones being asked about Jamal Crawford all those years ago.
Jamal Crawford?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. The home.
Salt Lake City?
Huh? Salt Lake City? That, 4 o'clock. That is our 4 o'clock reset. Thank you, Mitch. You're all caught up on what's going on in sports. You text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Two games left for the Phoenix Suns. We want more. We want more of who and what from this Phoenix Suns basketball team going into these two games. We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Suns at the Kings, pregame tonight at 6:30 on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Yeah, you'll hear that game here on Arizona Sports, and then you'll hear the Diamondbacks game on ESPN 620 tonight. As the Suns, two games left in the regular season, so much at stake, so much on the line. Feels like tonight's very much a must-win game. If you've got a read on how we expect the Suns to do tonight, man, you're a better fan than I am. You're a better person than I am, because at this point, this team's lack of consistency, they're so unpredictable. They could win by 20, they could lose by 20. I wouldn't be surprised by either outcome tonight. I really wouldn't. I mean, and I read that today. I don't want to, that's not an original thought. I read that on Bright Side of the Sun. But whoever wrote it over on that site is absolutely right. I would be surprised by nothing tonight out of the Phoenix.
Sacramento King fans are saying the same thing, because that team's like very capable of beating you up.
Yep.
If they're hitting their three pointers, and they're a different team now without Malik Monk and his ability to drive to the basket. They're not scoring many points in the paint anymore. They're taking a lot of threes. They're taking a lot of three. I almost cursed there.
Whoa.
I almost said something and load together of three pointers.
Everybody got their finger on the Gambo button just in
Man,
case.
Man, I was really Everybody. Close there.
I can tell you. You're on the verge of
You're
something
lucky
there.
It's Friday, bud.
I wasn't sure what it was.
Yes. Yeah. They put up 58 three-pointers on Tuesday when they lost to Oklahoma City. 58 three-pointers in the game. So without Monk's ability to drive, and they're just shooting a lot more threes. So their percentage of threes has gone down a little bit, but the amount of threes that they've taken has gone way up.
Yeah, and you're right. There are probably a lot of teams around the NBA. Hey, what you know, like if you're a Mavs fan, you're very happy with your team right now. If you're a Pelicans fan, you're probably very happy with your team right now. Zion's taking over these games in the second half and get Brandon Ingram back. But the Kings, the Suns, others in the Eastern Conference, you bet. As we go into specifically tonight's game, I'm going to replay this soundbite from Tom Chambers earlier today because it really caught your attention.
Yes.
And we need to talk a little bit about the state of this basketball team right now and a couple of guys that we think need to step it up. Here's Tom Chambers from earlier with Wolf and Luke.
They've got so much talent. But right now, I mean, you know, at what point of the season, like with three games left, you decide you're going to start Royce O'Neal? I mean, Grayson Allen's been your guy all year. I mean, it's just a little late for some of the things that are being tried right now. So, and I love Thaddeus Young. I mean, he came in and he's solid, you know. But now all of a sudden you're not playing Bowl, you're not playing Eubanks, you're not playing, you know, any of the other guys. Because you went to three guys off the bench, and two of those three guys are just shooters, you know. So I'm frustrated as well. I just hope that it all clicks. But right now it doesn't seem like it's bothering them nearly enough playing the way they are with the talent that they have.
It doesn't seem like it's bothering them nearly enough. I mean, that's like when you get the chill comment, like, get chill. I'm chilling. Like, again, we've talked about like Matt Williams when he was with the Diamondbacks. And I told you, Gonzo always likes to have that. He calls it a red ass on the team. They don't have that guy, whether you need him or not. I mean, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I don't know. But it does seem like some of these losses, I wish they would have taken him a little bit harder.
On the day that you were, I mean, I say off, you weren't off. You worked a lot of the day with the Coyotes news. But on the day that you took the day off to go watch your kid play baseball, Kellen was filling in for you. And we had a really good conversation about who this team is missing right now. You know, like we talk about what they've added in Durant and Beal and Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal and all that stuff. They've subtracted a lot of really strong personalities from the room.
Chris Paul.
And that was my answer. He actually said Jay Crowder.
He said Jay Crowder is a guy who would have held dudes in this room accountable.
That's why Monty didn't like him.
And that's exactly what Kellen said. That's why he and Monty didn't see eye to eye, because Jay had no filter whatsoever. Like, he would have gone up to Book or KD and said, dude, what are you doing? This is your basketball team. Be better than this.
Yeah.
Come on, you're better than this. Be better than this. And that was, you know, Monty didn't like him very much because that was why Jay didn't play that whole last year he was here. I think the answer is, Chris, to the question, but it does. It's obvious they are missing that, right? They're missing something.
I think they're missing the fun and enjoyment of playing the game the way they did. You know, that the way they used to dance with Cam and Mikhail and DeAndre, and like they had fun playing the game. They had fun playing the game. The fun seems to be missing. It seems like it's more of a job.
Oh yeah.
It does. It seems like it's just more of a job, and it's less fun now.
There was one game in the last month, and I can't even remember which one it was, where for the first time in forever, it looked like they were having fun. It looked like they were enjoying themselves. It never looks like they're enjoying themselves.
Campaign?
Campaign was absolutely, he was like the minister of fun on this team, along with him and Mikhail,
right? Those guys had
right?
so much fun. They just made it loose. Everybody was loose.
Yes.
This team is not loose. Strung tight? What's the word?
Tightly wound. Is that where you're going with? They're tightly wound.
I thought it was like high strung. Something like, you know,
wound tight.
Yeah, this team's wound tight.
Did we get there, Lauren?
Strung tight.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Highly strung or tightly wound.
Okay, that they seem to be that and not loose. They don't seem to be loose. They don't seem to be happy-go-lucky and just having fun. And because then, they didn't let that stuff bother them. But like now you kind of feel like they should let stuff bother them. I'm not sure, but it does seem like they're not having as much fun.
So maybe your answer to the question would be Mikhail. And when we're asking the question, by the way, we're not asking in a basketball sense. We're not asking like they miss a point guard or they miss a 3-and-D guy. I don't mean that. I mean the personality and chemistry equation. The way you're describing it, it sounds like Mikhail's personality might be the one that they're missing, because that guy was as loose as they got.
But I think
right?
it was a combination, right? I think it was a little bit of DeAndre was a little aloof, and Mikhail was, you know, just always having fun. And campaign, you had a bunch of guys that were just those guys. There were more guys that wanted to have fun than guys that were serious. And I think that played kind of well together.
Yeah, and now maybe they swung too far the other way, where just everybody's too serious. Two guys, I mean, you keep an eye on everybody tonight. But the story in Bright Side of the Sun pointed out two guys that to really keep an eye out for tonight. Grayson Allen, he's 5-for-23 from deep in his last three games.
And he had missed, 15 in a row?
15 in a row, yes, until the second half of the game against the Clippers the other night.
Right.
And then Nurk took one shot against the Clippers,
but had a good game, didn't he?
He had 10 rebounds, and he was active in that regard. 6 or 7 assists, I think. Yeah, in that regard, he had a good game. Took one shot, and if I remember right, it came at the very end of the game. He was the guy who was on the short end of the let's jack up 53 pointers of this game and see what we're right. Like, he was the one who got screwed in that equation, because everybody was so intent on finding their 3-point shot. It felt like nobody was looking for Nurk.
He had a game the other day against the last game against the Clippers, he had 19 rebounds and 10 assists.
Okay, 19 rebounds. I've got my
19 rebounds and 10 assists.
We'll see what happens.
And only
tonight.
The one basket. You're right.
Only the one basket. So we've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You could subscribe like you would for every podcast you love to listen to on your iPhone or your Android. You won't miss our show. We'll digitally deliver to you every single day. It's the Burns and Gambo Show podcast, and it's brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. He is the popular target for many of the trade up teams in the NFL draft, teams that want to come to where the Cardinals are in the NFL draft. But he's also likely to be a bust. So what doesn't compute here? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports, D-backs, Cubs, ticket giveaway.
Me call our number, you call our number.
Let's go caller number 7.
Caller number
7. In honor of Keith Kachuk.
7.
Was it 7?
Well, he was, but what does that have to do with the Diamondbacks and the Cubs?
Nothing.
Okay.
I heard he hit 300 home runs in his career.
I was looking for the connection. I don't understand. Caller number 7-602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. If you're caller number 7, you're going to win a pair of tickets to go see Chicago and the Diamondbacks next week. We got one more pair to give away in the 5 o'clock hour. Be listening then as well. So one more pair of tickets to give away. Caller number 7. Welcome back, Burns and Gambo Show on this Friday. Hope you're having a good day. We'll let you know when we have a winner to that, and you can stop calling, but keep calling in because we need to get caller number 7 on that one. The draft is less than 2 weeks away. In fact, 2 weeks from right now will be, I would imagine by now, the Cardinals have made their first second-round pick. I would think 2 weeks from now. It's getting close. We're about to find out what the resolution to all of this is going to be and how it's going to end. J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, has become the focal point of these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the draft, we talk about the Cardinals, and we talk about the decision that we all presume they're going to have to make. Do they stay at number 4 and take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Does somebody make them a Godfather-style offer that they simply cannot say no to? We're sort of anticipating, at least some of us are, that offer is going to come and that somebody is going to make them an offer that's just too many first round picks and it's going to be impossible for Monty to say no to. When you start digging into the player that teams would be making that offer to move up to get, you can kind of have this moment where you scratch your head a little bit and go, well, why? You know, why right. are you giving up all of these things right. for this guy, right? Like, it's easy to have that moment.
So ESPN did this story, NFL draft quarterback projection stats and more. And the only one I kind of focused on was J.J. McCarthy, because that's the only one that, to me, I think could factor into the Cardinals and what they do. Consensus big board quarterback, he's number 6. But here's the thing that blew me away. They broke it down into categories. Bust, adequate starter, upper tier starter, elite starter. Okay? The percentage that they judged him that he will be an elite quarterback is 10%. I'm not giving up 3 first round draft picks. If I'm going to give up 3 first round draft picks, I want elite. 10.1% chance he's elite. Upper tier, 17.7.
Okay.
Adequate starter, 26.3. Bust, 45.9. Now, he hasn't played a game in the NFL. Okay, so this is just projections by them. And they say his numbers were not as exceptional as Jaden Daniels, but he led him to victory in the college football playoffs. He did everything they asked. He was efficient. He protected the ball, was only a 2-year starter, but he shot up the draft boards lately. But their projections were 46, basically 46% that he's going to be a bust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do this. But, man, I'm not trading 3 first-round draft. I'm not trading 2 first-round draft picks unless I'm getting an upper-tier to elite-level quarterback.
So let me try to get to the bottom of this then. Does that mean you think that there won't be an offer by somebody to come up and get him?
Boy, all it takes is one team to love the guy.
Right?
All it takes is one team to love the guy.
One guy, one team who is convinced, you know what? We think that 10% number is wrong. We think there's a 25% chance he's going to be elite. We think there's a 30% chance he's going to be elite.
Or at the very least, he'll be an upper tier guy.
You know, right. We think there's a 50% chance he'll either be upper tier or elite. Our metrics, our scouting, our interview, our whatever, our belief in the player says we, because there's, you're right about one thing. There is nobody, who would trade all that inventory for a guy that they believe has a 10% chance of being elite. They're going to have to believe something else. They're going to have to convince themselves of something else. Nobody would trade all of that stuff. Like, you ask San Francisco now, you do it all over again, would you? God, no.
No.
They wouldn't give up all that stuff for Trey Lance. They thought, we've scouted him, we know him, his game translates, he's going to be awesome.
And they were wrong.
They were wrong.
Now, and you also can't call Monty Osford and say, look, Monty, hey, listen, we like the guy, but we don't love him. So is it okay if we just give you two first round picks? Because we just don't know. Not being a laugh. Like, you can't do that. No. Like, no, if you want me to come off of my position, you're going to give me what I'm asking for.
Right. Right. Well, no, I'm laughing almost like you order something on Amazon and you send it back. You know, hey, can you send us back one of our first round picks if he ends up? Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. You're going to give me three first round picks and that's how it's going to be. Mitch and I have a bet on this. As to what's going to happen. Yeah. I think the Cardinals are going to trade out. He doesn't. I know you don't think the Cardinals are going to trade out either, but you're not quite at that let's bet on it stage.
Right.
You know? I think somebody, and everyone seems to think it's Minnesota, maybe it's somebody else. I think somebody is going to look at him and say, we think it's better than 10%. And I'll tell you something else, too. We're so hyper-focused on Minnesota. Man, I have not... In my own mind, I have not closed the door on your New York Giants on this one. I have not. Moving up from six, two spots.
Don't have to give up as much.
You don't have to give up as much. The Cardinals can't I heard Wolf talking about this earlier today. The Cardinals can't reasonably expect to get an extra first round pick out of the New York Giants if they're going to move up two spots. All right. I don't think you can. You can ask for one from Minnesota because they're coming up from 11. You can ask for one from Denver because they're coming up for 12.
You can't ask for a future first
from the Giants just to move up two spots. I think that's kind of a non-starter from the New York Giants. Like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not giving you an extra first form just for two spots. Or you? Am I wrong? Do you think I'm wrong?
If you think. No, I don't know. So you're thinking that it'd be like I'll give you a second and then like a fourth,
something like that,
to move down two spots. You get two extra picks,
something like that.
You're giving up on Marvin Harrison Jr. to take the second best wide receiver,
right?
Second, you would not get the third best. You would get the second best wide receiver. You just don't get your choice of the top guy, but you get the second because the Giants are moving up, obviously, to take a quarterback. So now the Chargers now have. The choice of which wide receiver they would
unless
want.
Unless they take Joe Alt.
And shock the world.
Could you imagine? Seriously.
No, they need a wide receiver.
I know, but they also need an offensive lineman.
Right.
And there's just in reading some of the stuff out of L.A. about the Chargers with Harbaugh there and this new regime, I'm telling you, maybe it's smoke. Maybe it's draft subterfuge, as Wolf likes to call it. Maybe it's BS. Man, they're certainly putting this information out there like, hey, Jim Harbaugh wants to redo the offense, wants to make it more run-centric. Greg Roman's his offensive coordinator. He'd rather run it than throw it.
Build an offensive line first.
Right, build an offensive line first and don't worry about the white. And if they can you imagine the Cardinals moved out of six and they could still get
Marvin Harrison? Their guy?
I just don't know if they can ask the Giants for a first-rounder next year to move down two spots. That just might be too much of a, yeah, too rich for my blood, can't do it. But a second rounder, I think you could ask for a second rounder. I don't know if you could ask for it. Maybe I'm wrong.
But then the Giants would be playing poker. They'd be like, I'm gonna wait this out then. I'm not gonna give you that. I'll wait it out and hope nobody else jumps up and makes a trade with you.
Robert Gregoric, congratulations. You won tickets to go see the D-backs and the Cubs next week. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, a guy who brings all universes together. Mark Grace, our broadcaster segment. We're gonna talk D-backs baseball with Gracie, and we're gonna do it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. Time for Burns and Gambo to cut to the booth and talk with a Diamondbacks broadcaster. The Booth, brought to you by V's Barbershop. Head to V's for the VIP experience.
Yeah, our weekly visit with a Diamondbacks broadcaster, and for the first time this season, it's always fun. It's always a pleasure to have Mark Grace on the show joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Good afternoon, Gracie. How you doing today?
So this is the maiden voyage, is it?
Yeah, I mean, for 2024, yeah this is kind of, we're breaking the champagne bottle on the ship, and we're sending it off.
Special. Yeah, very special, as a matter of fact.
Gracie, before we talk baseball, I know your love and my love of hockey. I just want to get just your thoughts about the reality that the Coyotes going to end up leaving and going to Salt Lake City.
Man, it's, well, in a word, it stinks. And you know, they've been out here a long time now. Has there been speed bumps? Of course, there's been a lot of turbulence, a lot of speed bumps, and you know, there's been ownership issues over the years. There's been player issues over the years, and stadium issues, and just a lot of stuff that you know, You hate that it's that's what it came to, but that's looks like that's what it came to, and it doesn't make it any more easy. You and I are hockey fans, and I enjoy watching them play, and I love that little arena they play in at ASU.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be very good friends with Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk and Dally Drake and Rick Tockett, still a very close friend of mine. And I think you grew up, the Blues were your team, yeah. Right? The Blues?
I was always a Blues fan, still am.
From when? From when? When did you become a Blues fan?
I was, from kindergarten to third grade, I lived in the St. Louis area. And the very first hockey games that my father took me to were at a place called the old Checker Arena, where it was like the Checker Dome in St. Louis. So I grew up with like Gary Unger and those type of players, the Plager brothers, those guys that moved on to Brett Hull, Adam Oates, and then one of my best friends in the world is a guy named Kelly Chase. He was a tough guy for the Blues for a lot of years.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, that's why, and still a Blues fan, and I finally got a cup a handful of years ago.
Yeah. Wayne Babich, right?
Wayne Babich, another great one. Yeah. Absolutely. See, you know your hockey.
All right, we'll talk baseball now.
Okay, do we have to?
Wait, I know it wasn't a great road trip. It wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah.
Well, we found out that they can beat the Rockies.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
That's what we found out so far this season.
They are
a better team than the Rockies. Okay. And so far against everybody else hadn't been as much fun.
Me and you grew up in an era where playing shortstop was not about what you hit, but about how you played defense. If you hit 240 and played great defense, you were fine. I grew up with the shortstop combination. The Mets had Buddy Harrelson and Felix Mion. Neither one could hit.
And then you also, I played against the New York Mets, and they had Rafael Santana, and he couldn't hit you or me, but he was a very good defensive shortstop.
Right. I mean, Bucky Dent, good defensive shortstop. But then eventually the tide turned. I remember when Roy Smalley came into play, he was a good hitting shortstop, and then eventually you got to the Jeter and the Alex Rodriguez and Nomar and guys like that.
Yeah.
How much has the game changed? Do you still need a great defensive shortstop like you did back in the old days?
Oh, man, what a good question. And, for me, to this day, the center of the diamond, I think needs to be very good defensively, and that is second, short, center field, and catcher. And offense used to come in the old days. It used to come from first base, third base, and
outfield,
and your corner outfielders. But I think because offense has become so much more, these guys are so much bigger, stronger, and faster than my era. I mean, you look at these second basemen and shortstops, these guys are big as a house. And you're just like, man, they're big. I was a first baseman. I'm not as big as these guys. And that said, it's all about offense. Any offense anymore, guys, it's home runs and strikeouts. And if you can run into 30 or more home runs, but you strike out 215, 220 times and hit, 225, you're gonna be a major leaguer for a long time.
Yeah. So given everything we know about the Diamondback shortstop situation with Perdomo and with Lawler, how difficult of a decision do you think it is on a nightly basis for Torrey to kind of figure out what to do at shortstop, given that Blaze Alexander is kind of, he's the best of one world and he's the worst of another, and it's like a nightly coin flip almost on what you want to live with.
And I think, and I was talking about this with Jody, we're going to talk about it when we go on the air here shortly, that it just seems to me like, He's sped up out on defense. He's not slowing the game down defensively, but he sure does in the batter's box. He slows the game down nicely. He drives the ball the other way, hit an opposite field home run. He looks comfortable at the dish, and it just looks to me like he's just the game. He's letting the game come to him a little too quickly defensively, but if you look at his numbers last year defensively, I think he only made like four errors in 70 some odd games at shortstop last year. So he's got a pedigree to be a pretty good defensive shortstop.
Yeah, because you look at him and he's obviously he's not. And this organization's had so many good shortstops over the years, so it's hard to, you know, to see them struggle at that position. Let's just talk about the injuries, Alec Thomas, Eduardo Rodriguez, the fact that last year this team was relatively healthy. Yeah. This year they're dealing with a lot more injuries at key positions. How does a team overcome that? How do you just try to stay afloat during that time as a baseball team?
That's the thing. We just talked about the injuries and how, in my opinion, you have to be so strong up the middle defensively. Well, Alec Thomas is a very good defensive center fielder. He's out. Perdomo is a very good defensive shortstop. He's out. So, that makes it tough. And then also your closer is down, as well as Rodriguez. Seawald's down, and we're hoping to see the big left-hander's name, Montgomery. Hoping to see him sometime soon. But yeah, they're dealing with some injuries, and to finally answer your question, Gambo, and I apologize. You know me, I get a little
mouthy, me too.
But yeah, but I think you until you can get these guys back and playing on a consistent basis, I think you want to hang around. No worse than 500. You're too good a team to not start beating some other teams besides Colorado, but at the same time, yes, there's injuries, but there's also some games that have been gift wrapped to these opponents. At least I can think of three of them right off the bat. A couple in Atlanta,
and
the first one in Colorado. And so, you've got to add on offensively when you get these early runs. You got to continue to score, and then you got to find some guys that want the baseball late in the ballgame.
Mark Grace, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, with the news of Eduardo Rodriguez that we got today, that he's going to get pushed back a little bit, that his rehab's going to kind of get shut down because the shoulder's bothering him a little bit more. From your perspective, did you like what you saw out of Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson, their more recent appearances, to kind of give you the belief that the Diamondbacks can ride that one out a little bit with those guys when they do get Montgomery back?
Yeah, and Nelson, I thought threw the ball pretty well in Atlanta. In Colorado. Or where was it? Was it Atlanta?
Atlanta. It was Atlanta. He was Atlanta, so, yeah.
Yeah, I took a few fastballs to the head, guys, so just deal with me. But that said, I thought he, he's kind of, for me, Ryan Nelson's going to be that guy that you're hoping to get five or six and keep your team in the ball game. And I think Tommy Henry is, he was one of those guys last year. I was always, telling myself, I wouldn't tell anybody publicly, but I'm like, I'm just kind of waiting for this guy to not pitch well. And he proved me wrong, damn near every time he took the mound there late in the season. He just kept proving me wrong. So his stuff doesn't blow you, it doesn't knock your socks off, but at the same time, everywhere he's gone, from college to minor leagues, and he's just gotten you out, and that's what you want from pitchers. Somebody just get your butt out.
Yeah, Gracie, the maiden voyage was a successful one. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
We got it to the dock, didn't we, guys?
We did.
Wayne Babich.
Exactly.
Got the tugboats out, and we got it to the dock. Absolutely.
And Curtis Joseph in the pipes.
Cujo. Gracie, thank you, man. We appreciate it. We'll enjoy watching you tonight, all right?
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
You got it. Mark Grace joining us for Live from the Ballpark, D-backs and the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Text the word draft to 620-620. To enter for the chance to win a reserved table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar. That's inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat. It's our live broadcast as we await the Cardinals' first pick. Text the word draft to 620-620 right now. When we come back, once again, we have to ask, how is it a team with as good a top line players as there are in the NBA is not living up to advertised billing? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.